And here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, like I said, every Friday broadcast airs from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time live. And from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, the last hour of the show is dedicated to the NFL and fantasy football. And, of course, I'm Dan Tortora here with my co-host, Mike Sofka. Mike, how you doing today?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And, Mike, as we've started before, to look at week two, what were the things that kind of stuck out to you about week two? Who were maybe some of the surprises? Who were some of the letdowns? What did you kind of take away from week two?
Week two was interesting. There were still some close games. There were 10 games that were decided by 7 points or less, so that's always interesting. The thing I found most interesting was that single-digit midget game they had in Los Angeles with the Seahawks and the Rams, 9-3. I thought I was watching a baseball game. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But, I think as we progress, you know, this is a dangerous time for some teams, but this is a flourishing time for a lot of teams because we're off to a weird start. I saw Todd Gurley get traded, basically given away, and I objected to it, but it didn't. It ended up going through on a league. So people sometimes overreact. Hopefully, you know, people that we're talking to or listening here now aren't those that bunch. And if you are, I'm gonna, you know, tell you to put caution out there, because the best thing you could do is sit back and watch other people overreact and take advantage of their mistakes at this point.
Right.
You know,
amen.
Hopefully you've had a good draft, and hopefully, you know, you've been watching Wire the first couple weeks, but, you know, it's still the first 2 weeks. So, you know, if you have a Todd Gurley, you're going to be fine. I know he hasn't done anything yet, but you're going to be fine. Hang in there. He's not one of the top players in the league, not just at his position, but in the league for a reason.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because, you know, the Los Angeles Rams, obviously, I was excited that I got to get Todd Gurley in a couple of the leagues that I'm in. I'm a commissioner of five, and four in Central New York, and obviously one down in Florida that Mike and I are a part of. And, you know, I had the opportunity to pick up Todd Gurley. I thought it was a great pickup. And, you know, we look at the first couple weeks for the Los Angeles Rams. They've scored 9 points in 2 weeks. This is a team with Todd Gurley that you expect to be a 1,500-yard rusher at some point in his career, maybe a 2,000-yard rusher. And we're coming out of the first 2 weeks with Los Angeles having scored 9 points in 8 quarters and none of those touchdowns. So what do you do with the Todd Gurley factor? Because this is a question that I get asked, and I can, you know, I can tell you how I've answered it, but I want to give Mike the floor here first, and then I'll kind of react to it. What would you tell people about Todd Gurley? If they drafted him, they have him on the roster, and they're wondering whether or not they should play him going forward, what would you say?
Absolutely. If you've drafted Todd Gurley and he's on your team, even though he's had a shaky start so far, you got to look at what they've done. You got to look at his body of work. You got to look at, you know, what he's capable of doing and what they're capable of doing, which is giving him a lot of touches. You know, I think in Tampa, he's definitely a start. He's definitely a first, you know, an RB1. You know, a lot of people have him downgraded, but you drafted this guy really high for a reason. He was valued at that high for a reason. It's only a couple weeks, and I know it's hurt you probably, but you got to hang in there at this point. Now, if he goes off and has 5 weeks like this, yeah, I'm out. But pretty much, this is a guy who you just stick with him. He's gonna come around.
You know, and that's, I find it interesting. Like I said, I give my thoughts on this. You know, I had somebody ask me, do I play Todd Gurley? And, you know, I said it's really hard not to. I mean, it depends on who you have, and it depends on what they're doing. I mean, everybody's team is different. That's why I suggest to you that if you have a fantasy football question, that you go to wakeupcalldt.com and click on the fantasy football tab and then just type your question in. It's free. It's easy. It takes you a second. All you have to do is go to wakeupcalldt.com, go to the fantasy football page and type in your question and send it over to us, because everybody's team is different, you know. And when it comes to Todd Gurley, it is tough because there's a case to sit him and there is a case to start him. And I kind of, you know, went back and forth when I had people ask me, you know, Dan, I have Ryan Matthews and he's on Monday Night Football. And I like having one player on Monday night if you can, having somebody there. You don't want to go through Sunday, be down by three, and then just have to watch the pain happen. I mean, that's going to happen sometimes if you don't draft those players. But if you have somebody you could play on Monday night that's not half bad, you know, I always look to that. So, you know, Ryan Matthews, Lamar Miller, if those come up, I'm going, okay, you know, maybe I understand first couple weeks Todd Gurley upset you. But if you're telling me you have Eddie Lacy or Todd Gurley, then I'm Todd Gurley all day, every day. And, you know, I'm kind of with Mike on this one. I'm going to wait a few more weeks. I don't want to let him go. I'm surprised that people are trading him. I'm surprised that people would release him. You know, this is 2 weeks in a 16-week season. And, you know, obviously if you're playing fantasy football, you're playing about 13 weeks of the regular season, and then 14 through 17 is your playoffs. So I would be very cautious about giving up on somebody right away. And I think the people that traded away Todd Gurley or put him on the waiver wire are going to be kicking themselves at some point for the rest of the season. So I wouldn't get rid of him right now. You know, the Buccaneers matchup, the Bucs aren't known for stout defense. So, you know, this could be a good game for Los Angeles on the road for Todd Gurley. But we're going to go in order as we always do, and we'll go for the 1 o'clock games all the way down. But before we go there, Mike, anything else that stood out to you? You know, I'm going to tell you mine. You tell me yours here on Fantasy Football Friday. You know, this past week, the things that kind of stood out to me that were shocking, I guess I would say, is the Cincinnati Bengals seem to, you know, they go up and down. The Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard saga isn't getting figured out anytime soon. Giovanni had 9 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. But again, this isn't a clear picture. It hasn't been for years. I was surprised in the low scoring of Cincinnati. That was one thing. Matt Stafford, a lot of people loved him in week one. Only 15 points at home against the Titans was a shock to me. The Cleveland Browns, you know, they did some good things. Isaiah Crowell kind of shocked me a little bit. 133 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Corey Coleman was a pleasant surprise. He was somebody I was teetering back and forth on. I know that, you know, he's kind of, how healthy is he? But he had 104 yards and 2 touchdowns in the game. I thought Dak Prescott was a pretty good showing. I told people Alfred Morris would have a touchdown against his old team, and he ended up having a big one and a deciding touchdown in the game. The Rams were, of course, a shock. And I would also say that Green Bay and their inability to score is something that made me kind of wary on drafting Aaron Rodgers this year. He's one of those guys that burns you if you don't have him, but he ran into this last year early on in the season. In the first few weeks, the offense just got completely annihilated, and that was kind of a shock to me. In Chicago, Alshon Jeffrey and Jeremy Langford, again, they have a good team as far as on paper, but Chicago seems to not be able to figure out how to get that offense into the end zone. So I know that that's a pretty hefty list of surprises for me coming out of week two, but, you know, that's a look around the league. Mike, besides Todd Gurley, what were your other surprises in week two?
I think the way the Titans are throwing the ball, we expected them to be a machine running the ball with the stout running committee they have there, but they actually started to throw the ball. Marcus Mariota looked all right, and he's actually a solid play coming up this week against Oakland. We'll talk about that later. But there was some close games. I enjoy when the games are closer. I enjoy when there is some high-scoring games back and forth. That's what the NFL wants. That's what they like. The one thing that's gotten some people, I've heard through people I've talked to playing in various leagues, that's got some people confused, and I might as well throw it out there now, is have you noticed the NFL has more or less taken away that probable category in the injuries?
Yeah.
In other words, questionable is where you're going to be listed. Now, questionable isn't what questionable used to be then. That's like at that fast food chain where you go, and the small is no longer the small. They don't have small. It's all medium. And I'm like, well, what's the smallest one you have? Medium. Well, that would be the small. Well, it's the same thing.
Right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Just let me know what you're calling what so I can tell. But we can never tell with a guy like Belichick. You know, I think the Giants and the Saints disappointed me. I expected more of a shootout there. I expected more points in that game. It was interesting to me to see the Ravens bounce back after, you know, without reason, the Browns jumped out to a 20-0 lead, but it was good to see them be able to come storming back in that game. I felt the Jaguars laid a total egg on the left coast at San Diego. San Diego employs that Swiss cheese defense a lot of times. And let's face it, the Jaguars have some weapons now, so the Jaguars should have taken more advantage of that. The Steelers put on a show. They are what they are, you know, without Le'Veon Bell, without, you know, Bryant. It doesn't matter. They're a machine. Next man up, they keep going. DeAngelo Williams is a least I'm high on him this week as well. So, and the Patriots put themselves in an interesting position with a Garoppolo injury. They decided not to go out and pick up another quarterback, and he's going to be available, but he's probably not going to play at all. He's going to be in a backup role. Looks like they may rely on a Julian Edelman, and I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see some packages in there for him just in case, because I don't think Jacoby Brissett is the answer there at all. He can do some short passes, and he can move the offense, but we're going to see a heavy dose of Blunt this week.
Yeah, you know, I think LeGarrette Blunt, you know, that was a question. Who do you play in this game? And, you know, I said that, and obviously we're coming off of the game, but, you know, I mean, you look at a team, Jacoby Brissett, I thought he was going to get it sometime because I just felt the New England Patriots wanted to see kind of what they got out of their draft pick from NC State. And I got to cover him there when he was there under Dave Doran and, you know, a good quarterback for the team and did some good things there. But, you know, obviously he's a rookie and, you know, he's making some mistakes. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, it's tough. It really is tough in situations like that. You know, who do you play? You know, the Adrian Peterson factor, you know, is Matt Asiata, is he somebody that's good? Jerick McKinnon, you know, the question marks of next man up. You know, not every next man up is D'Angelo Williams to a Le'Veon Bell. So, you know, the question marks kind of arise. But one of the things that got brought up to me, and Mike, I think you and I can agree that this has been a passing league for a pretty good amount of time right now. Was that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. It's a passing league because fans love points, and that was the smartest thing the NFL ever did, was embrace fantasy football, because people like to be involved in points. It feels good when your guy's winning, and not everybody likes their hometown team or their regional team, so it gives you the opportunity to have favorite players and follow the players, and that's where you flourish as a league, when the fans buy in on the product. The product is the players. That's why the players are making so much money now. They are the product. It's a machine. They print jerseys. There's licensing. There's endorsements. There's all sorts of additional factors outside of winning on the field that comes with that. But you still have to produce. You still have to be a performer. And you still have to be a top player. And if you're not a top player, you're not in this conversation. So I think that's been the smartest thing the NFL could do is get the fans more involved. They were worried about it being the gambling angle at first, but, you know, I think they've learned to embrace it because they figured out how much money they can make on it.
Yeah, you know, and I think, but you know, going off the point of this being a passing league, you know, and has been for the last few years, you know, we're talking when you and I started playing fantasy football and, you know, let's go 8 years ago or 7 years ago, even, you know, 5 years ago, running back, running back, running back. I mean, you look at the first round, it was running back, running back, running back, running back. Somebody would take Calvin Johnson. Somebody might go after a quarterback in the second round or something like that. But the majority of the time, it's running back. And I got this question asked to me, I think, yesterday. And the question was, you know, well, Dan, I mean, is it even worth having running backs on the team anymore? You know, should you just focus on your wide receivers and then kind of get what you get with running backs? And I mean, obviously we've all drafted at this point, Mike, but you know, people are playing FanDuel and DraftKings and whatnot and changing their team each week. And I guess that's the thing, is what is the weight? What is the value of a running back in this year's fantasy football, in this NFL era that we now have? What is the actual weight that a running back holds now?
I think the main thing to do when you're playing daily fantasy is I look at the running back as a point of value. I'm looking to get the most bang for my buck, and I'm looking to spend my money on high dollar hookups or stacks. Stacks is when you get the quarterback and a wide receiver, for instance, on the same team. For instance, this week a good stack would be Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, because they're probably going to hook up for a lot of scores. So with that regard, I look at them as value. If I can find, like this week, for instance, I might take a flyer on a guy like Charles Sims, a guy that normally wouldn't be my starting guy, but he's liable to produce something. He looked good last week. I know Los Angeles is somewhat all right on the defensive side. They have a fearsome front. We'll just see which team shows up. They're getting a little bit of a break. Los Angeles is coming West Coast to East Coast, and then it's a 4 o'clock game. If this had been a 1 o'clock game, I would definitely pile on Charles Sims, because that's a little rougher. That's like playing a 9 o'clock a.m. game if you're, you know, used to living in California. So Charles Sims would be a value pick for me this week, and that's what I usually look for in a running back, and that's what I look for in a running back in a draft. But again, draft is different than daily fantasy because I let the draft come to me and I'm prepared to go many different directions. Whereas daily, I'm targeting certain players. So I'm usually targeting the heavy scorers, the biggest separation from other people. And I'm also looking for those hidden gems, those guys no one else is going to have. No one else is going to see this guy coming. I'll give you one of those to start looking at in the coming weeks right now. Jordan Howard in Chicago is a great guy that you need to start putting on your waiver. You need to take this guy before everybody else does. You need to look 2 weeks ahead. He's going to take over the spot from Langford. Watch. You can go ahead and mark it down today with, you know, by week six or so, he'll be the starter there. So these are the guys you need to look out for, the gems. You got to have the high scoring guys. You got to have the guys everybody else is going to have, but you got to set yourself apart from everybody else by finding those guys no one else is going to find and getting all the value out of them.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something that's obviously very, very important, is making sure that you're one step ahead of the game. And, you know, looking at these games, the way that things have been going, a lot of these teams aren't necessarily one step ahead of each other. You know, 6 points or less in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, you know, we're looking at the reality of it, but the fantasy implications. Mike, you know, here on Fantasy Football Friday on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season this season, there's been 17 games decided by 6 points or less. Four of those 17 games were decided by 1 point. So, I mean, this is definitely, it's kind of teetered back and forth. And it's, and like you said, kind of going into it, that this has been a very, you know, interesting beginning to the season, kind of seeing what teams are going to have that spark, what teams are going to break out and do some big things, what teams are kind of fading back a little bit. The Eagles are just shy of scoring 30 points in each of their first two games. They scored 29-10 and then 29-14, so their defense not looking too bad. Their offense has been good under Carson Wentz. So, you know, there's that factor. There is, you know, the fact that the Bengals have been 23 points or less in the first 2 weeks when they have a lot of weapons to spread the ball out to. The Dolphins have had their ups and downs. The Lions had a huge start, a huge roar to their season, and then a little whimper in week two. So it's just kind of interesting to me that some of these fantasy implications, some of these offenses are really, really strong, and some were strong and then weak, or weak and then strong, and these games are very, very close. So, you know, what have been, you know, some of your big takeaways from the point of emphasis that these games have been decided by less than a touchdown, and four of these games have been decided by 1 point? What, if anything, does this play in as a factor for fantasy football?
Well, overall, it's good for the game because it brings people closer. And what I mean is, there may be somebody in your league that you're looking at now that they're 2-0, and you're going, how the heck is that guy 2-0? He had no idea what he was doing in the draft. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you have some of the top players that haven't been performing so far. That makes it all the better. You know, if you've got a more competitive league, just like if the parity brings the competitiveness in the game itself, it's the same thing in fantasy football. Your job as an excellent fantasy football manager is to find those differences, because you need to create separation, much like in the regular NFL game, a wide receiver will create separation or try to create separation between himself and the defense. You know, that's why they try to get guys the ball in space. Well, you want to do the same thing. You want to get those guys you can capitalize on.
Absolutely. And when you look at some of these players to capitalize on, some of these players to go after, I know you obviously brought up a Jordan Howard, but before we get into matchup by matchup, who are you looking at right now, Mike, that maybe is sticking out to you as somebody to go after? I mean, Chris Johnson got some points, even though David Johnson is the focus. The Titans, there's that question mark of Derrick Henry. What can he be? There's the Cleveland Browns, and some people have let Corey Coleman go undrafted. And, you know, at full health, what he can show you. There's, you know, obviously the conundrum of what to do with the Baltimore Ravens. So as you go up and down this line, you know, Broncos quarterback, not necessarily drafted in all drafts. Sterling Shepard has shown some good things in the first couple of weeks for the Giants. And, you know, the 49ers obviously have shown you that they have some work. And one of the guys that kind of comes up to my mind is the fact that there's so much focus on the Washington Redskins with Jordan Reed, but Vernon Davis has been getting about equal play with Jordan Reed, and they've both been moving the offense. So besides Jordan Howard of Chicago, who are some of the other guys that maybe you could sneak into your roster this week?
Well, there's not many quarterbacks you can do that with. I wouldn't even do that with a Sam Bradford, who's been impressive so far, and anybody else that is out there or probably out there. There may be a Fitzpatrick out there in a quarterback market, but that depends on your league, of course. There may even be a Tannehill. But the real value is in the running backs. Again, I doubt this late in the week that McKinnon's still available, but McKinnon's the guy there. I think he's more like Adrian Peterson. And trust me, he's not Adrian Peterson, but this guy can do it all. Right now, though, he's going to be the guy that you're going to see in from the 20-yard line, in the red zone, and the goal line touches. Asiata will move the ball up and down the field, much like they're planned to do in Jacksonville with T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory, and I think we'll see some of that now that Chris Ivory's healthy. A guy that's really on my radar right now is Dwayne Washington. Not to be confused with DeAndre Washington on the waiver wire. DeAndre Washington is in Oakland. We're talking about Dwayne Washington. This is a guy that has the opportunity to take over that running spot that Theo Reddick is going to temporarily hold for him. This is a guy that they are very high on in Detroit, and they've been keeping him under the radar. So look out for Dwayne Washington. There might be a Kristen Michael on the wire this week. He's going to get some carries, but watch out for C.J. Proksize. With Thomas Rawls still banged up, that might be a way to go. Again, I like being proactive with things. Jordan Howard, if you got room to stash him on your bench, if not, watch what he starts to do. He's going to start to get more touches. If you're looking for a stopgap guy, though, Fozzie Whitaker may be your guy in Carolina, because it looks like Jonathan Stewart's going to be out for a couple short weeks, and I think Fozzie's going to be your guy. And wide receiver is the area I'm most excited about. Mike Wallace is available out there a lot. He's put on some big plays. He's got 3 touchdowns in 2 games. Quincy Inunua from the Jets, that is a solid receiver. I can see star receiver all over this guy if he keeps going the direction he is. Being the number 3 receiver on that team isn't a bad thing. He looks like he looks like Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker's peer out there for sure. And, of course, with the injury to Moncrief in Indianapolis, they're playing up against that San Diego defense. A Philip Dorsett is going to be a steal out there on the waiver wire. And, of course, Devontae Parker finally started to show up again. He looks healthy and back, so he might show some value out there. You had mentioned Jordan Reed before. He's probably not going to be out there on a waiver wire, but as tight end, he is a top tight end. But another guy who could steal that title from him is a guy you might be able to go pick up right now, and that's Dennis Pitta, who's back from injuries with Baltimore. He's had a resurgence here, and he looks like he's back to his old self. So that's just a handful of guys that you might be able to still scoop up and might be able to have an immediate impact on your team this week.
You know, and I definitely can agree with you that obviously there's some guys out there, and running back-wise there's going to be, because there's been a lot of injuries. And to get to these really quick, Adrian Peterson of the Vikings, you know, his injury, another knee injury for him. Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Amir Abdullah of the Detroit Lions. Arian Foster of the Miami Dolphins to miss a couple weeks with a groin injury. Jonathan Stewart that you mentioned, Mike, with the Panthers. Danny Woodhead of the San Diego Chargers. To look at all of these injuries that have happened to running backs, I mean, this is obviously kind of opening the game up a little bit for some people. Fozzie Whitaker is not on people's minds, especially if you just started playing fantasy and you haven't like looked to the third or fourth running back on a team. Dwayne Washington, you know, another one to look at. And, you know, it's just interesting to me when you look at some of these situations and kind of where we sit right now, you know, how many people around the country are doing their research on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, you and I are sitting here and discussing this and doing the research for them, so to speak. But when you look at kind of where things sit right now, a Charles Sims is somebody that maybe was drafted, picked up at some point, so you got him on your team. But a Fozzie Whitaker's out there, a Dwayne Washington's out there. There's going to be guys that are going to give you an opportunity that you could kind of sneak in. And a C.J. Proksize is somebody that I put on my team just to have, you know, whether I had Rawls or not. I thought C.J. would get some time out there, so you kind of just sneak him on, and now you have an opportunity to maybe throw him out there. So any of these running back situations that shocked you because there's been a lot of injuries. It seems like as time has gone on, there's more injuries at the beginning of the season with each passing NFL season, week one, week two, preseason. There's some big injuries that are happening. Are you surprised at all at this point that we're without numerous starting running backs in the NFL? Or are you like me that's kind of maybe essentially come to expect to have a few of these guys out, but probably not this many? I think this might be a little bit uncharacteristic at this point.
Statistically, the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years that I'm aware of, the quarterback is usually the high-evolving position each year, but they've changed the game. They've changed some of the rules of the game. They made the quarterback situation a little bit safer. They're not going to let a guy get a clean shot on a quarterback. You can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. You got to hit him in the middle. There's all sorts of late calls now. They're really saving the quarterback. So I think used to be at least a third of the quarterbacks went down in a season. But now that we've come into this committee situation and a lot of running backs, or the opposite, where you get the bell cow and you get the guy that can run, then you just run him till he can't run no more, then you next man up it. So it's almost like the NFL is saying, yes, we are a passing league. We're going to protect the quarterbacks, and we're going to chew up some running backs. And if we need five running backs on a team to do that, that's fine. But we're going to run the ball because you have to run the ball in the NFL. If you don't run the ball, you'll never be able to pass the ball. So you got to make the defense respect you. So in that regard, they're always going to run the ball. And that's why you hear a lot in the past year or so about zero running back and when you're drafting fantasy, and you hear all these terms about, you know, committees and all this. Just get the guys that are going to score some points. Get the guys that are going to touch the ball. And if they get hurt, be ready to be proactive. And in your draft even, get ready to forecast some of these things. I mean, the Adrian Peterson situation, this is a guy that's in his 30s. I know he's a beast, and I know he's had a year or two off, and I know he's recovered from surgeries faster than anybody else. But, you know, now that you look back at it, hindsight being 2020, he had two really bad games. He had the worst yardage per carry situation in the league's history. Yet he's also one of the top running backs ever in the league's history and a future Hall of Famer. So if you look back at it, hindsight being 2020, you could tell he was hurt. There was something wrong there. And I hope that's not the case with somebody like a Todd Gurley or what have you, heaven forbid. But at the same time, there's guys out there that you have to have on your team. Adrian Peterson is one of them. But you got to be proactive and you got to plan ahead, or you got to at least look at what you're going to do if this happens. If this happens, I'm going to jump on this guy, or who should I look at next? You're always looking, so you always know. That's what they do in the NFL. If a quarterback goes down, they already have a guy on standby who's going to sign with them. They already know who they're going to call. They already got flight arrangements made and everything. I mean, they're fast with it. You need to react the same way. You need to have your game face on all week long, not just on Sundays when you're watching the game for fantasy points.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that that's very important to always try and stay one step ahead. You know, I'm kind of going through waiver wires right now as we're talking, and the leagues that I'm the commissioner of have, you know, 10 to 12 teams per league, and that usually means that there's going to be some steals out there for sure. And Will Fuller from Notre Dame, he's just sitting out here. He's a top target right now for Brock Osweiler. DeAndre has been, you know, the guy. He's getting DeAndre at least one touchdown a game, and he's given, you know, just a few more yards a game to Will Fuller. And here's Will just kind of sitting out here, and he's a guy that you got to grab. You know, I think a Will Fuller is somebody that, you know, you obviously have to go out and get at this point if he's going to be available. Kind of shocking that he would be. Spencer Ware didn't have, you know, I mean, you look at Spencer Ware, he had a great week one, and then now people are kind of like, well, what do I do with Spencer Ware? But I think a Will Fuller or a Spencer Ware or Stephon Diggs or Kyle Rudolph are people to look at and give an opportunity to. A Diggs and Rudolph, as soon as Sam Bradford got signed with Minnesota, I said the stock of Diggs and Rudolph are going to go up. And as of one game, they have. So if there's a Diggs or a Rudolph or a Ware or a Fuller out there, is it safe to say that those are the ones that you're going to snatch up at this point? I mean, would these be four guys that you would suggest? I would, but what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I consider Fuller to be a mid-level wide receiver, too, at this point. I think he's a guy that you have to respect, even with his youth. I mean, I can remember being in fantasy drafts in the 90s and thinking, Randy Moss, why is this guy taking Randy Moss so quick? Receivers aren't. Well, that was the evolution of the game right there. That was when you could start taking receivers. We thought it before running back, maybe Brett Favre, look back, be in the passing league, you have to respect some of these guys. And the NFL is great on the whole at evaluating talent. So if they bring you in and you have a big, you know, college background like that guy had at, I think he's from Notre Dame. He, this is a guy who's used to playing in front of 100,000 people. He's used to the big stage, and he knows how to make plays. That's why a CJ ProSize, the same thing, is going to be successful in Seattle. That's why a lot of these football machine programs continue to churn out players, your Big Ten, your Big 12, and, of course, without fail in the past several years, the SEC. There's speed kills. And if you can have a receiver in a passing league that has speed, that's fine. They can teach them how to catch the ball better. You can't coach speed. You can coach somebody on how to be faster, but I can't tell you be fast.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's a big thing with this. And obviously speed has been something that has helped out some of these players over time to kind of show themselves, show their ability, and show what they're capable of as we move forward. And speaking of moving forward, let's get into the games. We'll start with the 1 o'clock Sunday games, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and we'll go down the line from 1 o'clock to the 4 o'clock, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. So with you kind of pen and pad ready and willing and waiting to go here for everybody listening in, make sure that, you know, we're going to go down the line with you to help you out, and I think the easiest way to do it is to go down the clock. So Cardinals and Bills in Buffalo, what do you think about this one?
Unfortunately, the only guy I really like on the Bills may not be playing, and I have Sammy Watkins. He's got he's dinged up on the foot. I do like LeSean McCoy still, don't get me wrong, but Arizona's a pretty tough defense. I know the game is at home, but you started out the season 0-2, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better with Palmer and Fitzgerald and David Johnson coming to town. I know the Bills have an okay defense. I know they have a great running attack. I know Tyrod Taylor's a decent quarterback, but, you know, without Watkins, that changes the whole complexion of anything. They can pull one man down in the box again, stack it a little more against McCoy. So, I like the Arizona team this week, but I don't like really anybody on the Bills, maybe McCoy.
Yeah, you know, I look at this as a game where I expect the Cardinals to have a good offensive day. I expect Carson Palmer to have a good day. I expect Larry Fitzgerald to get a touchdown or two. I expect David Johnson to get out there. I expect to maybe Chris Johnson sneak one in. So, you know, I like the Cardinals in this one for sure. And, you know, Sammy Watkins, I said last week that I kind of shy away from him. The Julio Jones factor, when you're playing an injured receiver who may or may not need surgery, he's always going to maybe give you a good game, but you're one play away, and he's, you know, one more time of falling a certain way from being out for 8 weeks or being out for 6 weeks or the rest of the season. So, you know, Sammy Watkins factor, I just kind of stay away from it. Buffalo's running game, I'm not a big fan of. Tyrod Taylor can do some good things, but again, you know, this is a team that I don't put a lot of weight in. You know, if I was in Vegas, I wouldn't be putting all my chips on blue and red for this one. I would be putting it on the Cardinals, and I think the Cardinals defense might be able to get a pick or two in this game, might recover a fumble, and, you know, obviously I think Fitz and Palmer and David Johnson are good looks, and Chris Johnson, if your league is really deep and you got to go after somebody, maybe you pick him up. Raiders and Titans in Tennessee, who do you have for this?
Well, you got to like what the Raiders have to provide on offense. On offense, you know, Carr is an excellent quarterback. I have him as a QB1, a low-end QB1 this week. Amari Cooper, you always got to respect him. He's a top-level elite receiver. And Latavius Murray as well. Although McMurray's been giving up some touches out there, I still think he's a top-level elite. So you got the big three in Oakland right there. And Wolford's been doing all right. Clyde Wolford picking up some touches at tight end. But the thing that's been most amazing to me last week anyway was the fact that the Titans were able to throw the ball. And the Titans throwing the ball against a poor secondary that the Raiders have, and they can't seem to put any pressure on the quarterback. Mariota's actually not a bad play this week, and they can run the ball. Don't forget that with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And Delonte Walker as well, he's going to run the ball, and he's going to catch some passes. So I like what the Titans have to offer, but I think it's a little too much for the it's not enough, I should say, to pass the Raiders. And I think the Raiders are going to come through in this because I think they're just capable of scoring more points.
Yeah, you know, when I look at this game with the Raiders, I think that this game might open up a little bit more. I could see 16-13, but I'd like to see higher than that. Marcus Mariota, you know, I think that he is somebody that, you know, Mariota, I should say, is someone that you could look at to play if you are in need of a quarterback, if your guys aren't getting it done. This might be somebody to look at. If you have Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota, this is kind of a difficult one. I would usually side with Derek Carr. Amari Cooper, you know, let's see what he could do in this. I think DeMarco Murray might be able to bring something into this game, bring an element into this game. And, you know, Derrick Henry, I'm still waiting. I'm patiently waiting to see if he can become a factor in the offense for Tennessee. But I like both teams airing it out. And like I said, I could see 16-13 or I could see 30-31. I could see something like that. So, you know, I don't think either one of these quarterbacks is a bad choice. I do like DeMarco Murray in this. And, you know, who can disagree with the fact that, you know, Amari Cooper, 11 receptions, 208 yards, got some good things to talk about with Mr. Cooper, who was drafted pretty high in the drafts that I oversaw this season. Browns at the Dolphins, so down in Miami. Cleveland, obviously, their defense is one to stay away from, I think is safe to say, Mike, because they gave up 23 unanswered points to the Baltimore Ravens. And the Miami Dolphins, you know, they did well against a third-string quarterback. So, you know, their defense is suspect as well. But who do you like in these games? Is Isaiah Crowell worth putting out there for this game in Week 3? Is he worth giving a chance to? And Jarvis Landry, where do those guys stand?
Yeah, I think you got to respect what Miami's got on the field because they got a lot of power with Landry and with Parker. Tannehill is suspect at times, but like you pointed out, Cleveland's defense is a little porous. Now, Miami hasn't been much better, but I like Miami's defensive advantage in this game. This is a contest of 2-0-2 teams, so I think Miami in a staggering heat is going to be a little bit of an edge over Cleveland on a defensive end, but there's really not many Browns players you can put your hat on outside of an Isaiah Crowell, who broke free last week for a large gainer as well. I got him ranked at number 20 overall, and I've got Duke Johnson at 36. So these are two guys out of 53 guys on the roster that I don't think anybody else is worthy of having on your team right now. Flipping the coin to the Dolphins, Jay Ajayi, this is going to be his first opportunity. Apparently, he had a little doghouse situation in Week 1. That's why he wasn't active. Devontae Parker, again, this is a guy who's starting to show up healthy, and Jarvis Landry. So I think the Dolphins are going to come away with this one. And if I had to put any of the players in, I'd be okay with playing Parker. I'd be okay with playing Landry. I might even take a flyer in daily leagues on some on a value pick with Ajayi.
You know, and I think it is one of those games where you want to see what Jay can do. You want to see what he could be in this. You know, Arian Foster is obviously giving him an opportunity. Arian Foster hasn't been healthy for a long time, so it's going to be interesting to see. Jarvis Landry, you know, I'm not against this. I don't think you could really go wrong when it comes to Miami playing Cleveland's defense, I mean, in all honesty. So, you know, a Devontae Parker, a Jarvis Landry, you know, they might end up giving you 4 points. They might end up giving you 20. It depends on how the game goes. I mean, Miami shows that they could score points against the New England Patriots. I mean, the Patriots, yeah, were down to their third-string quarterback, but the Patriots' defense was not their third-string. And, you know, so that says something about Miami and their ability to score. When they feel like they have an inch, they will take a yard. And then on the other side of this with Cleveland, you know, Isaiah, he's not bad to put into something like this. He's a guy that, you know, Kroll is someone that's very hard for me to be sold on, because he has burned me in the past, and he's been very up and down. Speaking of up and down, the Ravens and the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Mike will be there at the game. I'll be covering the game, so we'll both be in Jacksonville, Florida, and it's going to be an interesting to have us both there, which I'm very excited about and just found out about, you know, going into the show here. So we'll be in Jacksonville, and Mike, what do you think? Will Jacksonville's offense decide to show up like they did against Green Bay, or are we looking at a Baltimore team that's getting hot right now? How do you kind of view it?
Yeah, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they're 0-2 and even though the Ravens are 2-0, I think this falls into Jacksonville's hands here. I think the one thing that can be scarier, the one difference maker or trump card, could be Dennis Pitta from the Ravens. But looking at the Jaguars first, you know, Blake Bortles has been phenomenal. He's been a QB1. Then you got some tight end play finally by Mr. Julius at tight end. Well, the tight end starts showing up. Guess what? That opens things up more for the wide receivers. Oh, and Allen Robinson's healthy again this week. So they didn't think he was going to be healthy. I was worried about that going in. I'm not worried. As long as Allen Robinson is healthy, that also opens up things for who? Allen Hurns. And who else does that open up things for? Well, T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory, who's back this week. So I think that's a little more offense than the Ravens could sustain. I don't think the Jaguars, as bad as they played in the second week, I don't think that they would let the Ravens come back and score 20-some-odd answer points if they were able to jump out to a lead. On the other side, for the Ravens, Joe Flacco isn't a bad play, but you know, he's a mid-level QB2 right now in this game. Dennis Pitt is definitely a guy that should be on your radar. If you've had a Gary Barnridge who hasn't impressed anybody this year or done anything, you know, in a couple of leagues, I've gone and dropped him and picked up Pitta. That's how sold I am on Pitta. The only scary thing is Pitta hasn't really finished many years, so he's prone to injury. But Mike Wallace is a big deep threat as well, and he's a guy that has 3 touchdowns in 2 games, so you know, individual-wise, there are some stars in this game, but I look for Jacksonville to come away with the win.
You know, I think Jacksonville is finally going to get their first win of the season for some odd reason, and I said this going into the game. I expected Jacksonville to lose because this past week in week 2 because of San Diego. Anytime Jacksonville goes on the road to San Diego, they get blown out. They somehow, on the flight, jet lag, whatever you want to call the 3 hours of difference, it changes the team, and they don't look like themselves. You know, Kamar Aiken has been underwhelming. Fantasy-wise, he's been a non-factor. And, you know, but Mike Wallace. And when I look at these games, this is how I look at this. I think the Jaguars are pretty good against the run. I think that they could do some good things against the run. But I think against the pass, they're going to be tested. And I think, you know, Mike Wallace and Joe Flacco, that relationship is good. Mike Wallace for fantasy this week, not so much sold on Joe Flacco getting you many points this week. Justin Forsett, I'm not a big fan on him. I'm not really sold on him. I don't like what I see from Justin. Could he maybe get a 2-yard touchdown in this game? Yeah. But, I mean, if I'm looking at fantasy football points, I'm looking at T.J. Yeldon. I want to see what Chris Ivory can do, but I'm looking at Yeldon. Hurns might be able to sneak a touchdown. Allen Robinson's going to be out there. And, you know, Julius Thomas. The Jaguars, on paper, have a very, very strong team that can wreak some havoc. And I think Baltimore might be that week where Jacksonville could show you offensively, fantasy football-wise, just what they're made of and what they're capable of and bring some positives to you in that respect. So I like the Jacksonville players this week at home against the Baltimore Ravens. And I do, with Mike, think that Jacksonville will finally get the win that almost was theirs against the Green Bay Packers. Another 1 o'clock game, the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. The irony of this game, and the irony is that, well, sports and irony go hand in hand. And Mike, here on Fantasy Football Friday on Wake Up Call with Dan Zatora, the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers are playing each other in Wisconsin. The Detroit Lions had a good offensive showing and then not so good. The Packers had a good offensive showing and then not so good. So irony is right in front of us of offenses that were up and then fell straight down. What do you think about them going up against each other?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think the Packers are going to be able to break out of their offensive funk right now. I think we're going to see a lot of Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson. I think we're going to see a lot of Eddie Lacy. This is Theo Reddick's game to come out for Detroit. I don't think it's going to be a spectacular one for him. I know he's an all-around back, but I think we're going to see the emergence of a Dwayne Washington in some respect. They'll make it a closer game than people think, but I think the offense is going to show up, and I look for some points to be scored in this game because the way I look at it is, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Eddie Lacy, these guys are too talented to let somebody come into their backyard. They're 7.5-point favorite, and I know the lines are established not necessarily on who's going to win the game by how many points, but the real reality is to put half the money on one side and half the money on the other in Vegas. But with all that being said, you got to go with the Packers at home. They got the big three. Anytime you put together the big three, who would be a number one guy on anybody else's team, I got to go with that team, and I think Green Bay is the guys to play, comparatively speaking, in this game, and I wouldn't feel bad about starting any one of those big three in any of my fantasy leagues.
You know, when I look at this game and this matchup, I do believe that Green Bay will find a way to score the ball. I do think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be involved. Devontae Adams has kind of fallen for some people and fallen out of favor, I guess I should say. But Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers, I like them in this game. I'm still wary, though. I still think this could be like 20-17 the way I'm looking at it right now. The Detroit Lions, Dwayne Washington, I picked him up on the waiver wire. So I had Amir Abdullah. He's on IR, so I basically got rid of one and brought in his replacement. I don't think Theo Riddick is an every down back, and I think Mike and I can agree on that. Matt Stafford, he might be able to score some points in this game. So it's difficult because you look at Detroit and you go, okay, what the heck happened last week? And then you look at Matt Stafford and go, well, you could get 30 points. Golden Tate, though, he's somebody that I'm not sold on. I wasn't sold on last year. In the middle of the season, I kind of stopped with Golden Tate, and I haven't picked him up since the middle of last season. So, you know, for me with Detroit, Matt Stafford, okay, let's see what he could do. Dwayne Washington, maybe a good flex to pick up. Or if you have Adrian Peterson or Arian Foster or Amir Abdullah that went out, then go get Dwayne. And for the Packers, you know, let's see what Devontae can do and Jordy Nelson. There's some other guys out there for the Packers that can really spread the ball out that aren't household names, and I think they may be a factor in this. But Aaron Rodgers, you know, you'd like to not have to go against him for 2 weeks straight, and I can at least say personally that I'm not going against him this week. You know, if I have him on my roster, it's hard for me to not play him. Broncos and the Bengals in Cincinnati. I envision this being not a lot of defense, but I also know that it's the Denver Broncos. I don't know, Mike. I'm looking at this game, and my gut doesn't usually steer me wrong. I think there's going to be some points scored in this game.
Well, there could be, but again, it's almost very difficult. I know Denver's not quite totally West Coast, but it's West Coast enough, and anytime you travel back east and you're playing a 1 o'clock game, it's a difficult thing, but you can't argue with what they got going on. They got a quarterback in Trevor Siemian who's not turning over the ball, playing a Trent Dilfer type role. He's not a high alert fantasy player, but he's doing enough to help keep the ball moving and keep things going. And part of the way they keep going is running the ball with C.J. Anderson. Devontae Booker finally got out of the doghouse from the week one fumble and produced a little bit last week. So keep him on your radar if he's not stashed on your bench already. I don't see big things quite yet, but he is coming around the corner, and C.J. Anderson is just running the ball like a beast, so you can't go against that. On the other side of the ball, I think the big players here are going to be the guy, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. I think there's going to be a lot of them running the ball. You know, initially I was afraid for A.J. Green in this game because he was due to have his baby, and it was up in the air as to when the baby was going to come, and he and his wife had put out a statement earlier saying that if they're, you know, he would miss a game to witness the birth of his first child. And I don't blame the guy for that, but your antenna's got to go up as a fantasy player, and you got to know what's going on. What are the implications of that if their number one receiver misses the game? So if you haven't been thinking about that this week, you need to get out there and you need to start paying attention to what's going on, because it's the little things like that that can make a difference in winning or losing a game, which can make a difference in you making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, which can make a difference in you winning your championship or not. It's the little details you have to pay attention to. So I wouldn't have a problem starting A.J. Green. I think he's going to be a proud papa this week. But at the same time, I think the Bengals might win this game outright.
You know, and that's what I find interesting. I think if the Bengals win this game, that it's going to be a game where there is a good amount of scoring. I can't see the Bengals winning necessarily a defensive game because they haven't been able to show that. You know, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard did nothing on the ground last week, but Giovanni Bernard was the leading receiver. Tyler Boyd, you know, he's a rookie. He's from Pittsburgh, return guy, but he was the second leading receiver for Cincinnati last week. 78 yards, 6 receptions. He was targeted 8 times, as many times as A.J. Green, and A.J. only had 2 of those come in for receptions. So Tyler Boyd, I guess if you got to go deep, maybe you look at somebody like him in a Cincinnati type of matchup just to see what he's capable of, see what he could do. You know, there's not a ton of film maybe out there on him, and I don't think that there's going to be a mark on him from the Denver Broncos. He'd be one of those guys that can sneak around as the third or fourth wide receiver that's out there in a set for Cincinnati. So, you know, Andy Dalton, I don't think he's a bad play in this one. I don't think that A.J. Green is necessarily bad, but Tyler Boyd, I like him as kind of a little sneaky pick. And then, you know, Devontae Booker, If you got to put him in a flex, C.J. Anderson, if you want a handcuff, I don't think it's a bad idea if you put them both next to each other. C.J. Anderson, 40 carries, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks, so not too shabby for him. And, you know, the Broncos quarterback, I'm not yelling at you to play this guy. I don't know if that's where your points are really going to come from, and I don't know if that's a place of emphasis that you could trust right now. But I think the Bengals, I don't know. I feel good about Tyler Boyd. I go with my gut because my gut doesn't lead me astray. So I think Tyler might be able to sneak in something this week. And, you know, I think the running game for the Broncos is good. And Cincinnati, you know, Jeremy Hill, every time I look at the fact that in the league that Mike and I are in, it auto-picked me Jeremy Hill because I didn't get to my phone quick enough. I was at Disney, and I'm doing the draft on the phone, and I'm trying to get to it, and I missed it, and they drafted Jeremy Hill, and I was just staring at it a couple minutes ago, and I'm still pissed off at my phone for doing that. Minnesota Vikings at the Carolina Panthers. One of the only things in Charlotte that hasn't run out of Charlotte at this point with everything going on. Carolina is going to be at home, but they're playing a Vikings team that has some weapons, and I think that they're going to go away from the running game and dedicate to the pass. So I think that there's a good amount of players you could throw into this one. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm still going to side with Carolina at home, though. I think Carolina, and especially Carolina at home, is just too dominant of a force to break up. Even though Minnesota's been playing excellent defense, and even though they're 2-0, and even though Bradford came in there and really took things up a notch, I think the one guy on the Vikings you can count on is Jerick McKinnon. Not sure about Asiata. Like I said, he's going to be the guy that's going to catch the ball, and he's going to be the guy that's going to have more of the goal line opportunity. And on the Panthers side, Cam Newton. I can't say enough about it consistently. He's a top 4 or 5 quarterback week in, week out, one of the top quarterbacks in the league for the year for fantasy. And this week, if you need to take a flyer, again, Fozzie Whitaker's your guy. I think Fozzie's the man. Only for a couple weeks, but I think they're going to feed him the ball. Yeah, there's a Mike Tolbert there, and yeah, there's an Artis Payne there, but I don't think those guys are going to get near the touches. Now, there's a chance Tolbert can get the goal line touches. He's that thick back who they like to bring in when they're near the goal line. But Kelvin Benjamin surprised me the most so far. I still have him rated as the top receiver this week at wide receiver 1, even though it's against Minnesota. I think they're finding ways to get him the ball. Coming back from the injury, he's been huge so far, and I think he's going to continue to roll.
Yeah, you know, I look at this matchup, and Kyle Rudolph, I could see him scoring in this game. Diggs is a good receiver, you know, possession receiver, depends on if you're playing PPR, whatever it may be. If you're in standard, he's still getting you yardage. He's still doing some good things with you. So Diggs, I like Diggs. I like Rudolph in this game. I am going to be like Mike and side with the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they're at home and they're a dominant team and they're obviously very, very strong. So, you know, Greg Olsen, Fozzie Whitaker is a thought. He is a thought in this game. We'll see if he's a one-hit wonder. And, you know, he has been in the past, so we'll see where he stands in this one. Jonathan Stewart, anybody that knows me, has ever listened to the show, you know that I'm not a Jonathan Stewart fan, fantasy football-wise. So I like Cam Newton. Kelvin Benjamin's been starting for me since day one. I thought he'd go out there and score, and he didn't let me down in the first game played this season. And so I like Olsen. I like Benjamin. I like Cam Newton on Carolina's side. And for the Vikings, I like Diggs and Rudolph. Rudolph over Diggs if I had to choose. And let's see what Sam Bradford can do from here as we go forward. Next game, Washington Redskins, New York Giants at MetLife Stadium. What do you think about this one?
Well, we talked about him before, Jordan Reed. He's a player. If he can stay on the field, he has the ability to turn things around and make that separation or make that difference in the game like Gronk can. This is a guy who can be a possession guy up and down the field as well as catch the ball in the red zone. But as the Redskins have done, so has Matt Jones. He's been holding on to the ball a little better. He had a dynamic scoring play at the pylon last week, and he looked really strong. Cousins, you know, there's some questions about Kirk Cousins now. Kirk Cousins looked like he was going to be the guy. I have him as a low to mid-range QB2 this week against the Giants. But on the other side of the ball, they got 3 dynamic receivers by the name of Odell, Sterling, and Cruz. Now, I'm searching for a nickname for these guys. I didn't expect Cruz to be back so strong. A lot of people didn't expect Sterling Shepard to have the start he has. He's been okay. and that's right. I think he's on track to where he needs to be. And Odell Beckham Jr. is arguably, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the game. So you give a quarterback with a pedigree like Eli Manning those three dynamic players to throw the ball to, and you have a running attack led by, you know, Jennings, who has been okay. He's been like an RB2 for the first part of the year, and that comes out to wins, and they're 2-0, and they're at home against an 0-2 team. So I think that the Giants will come away with the win here, but there's going to be some fantasy points scored on both sides, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there definitely is going to be some points scored on both sides. I like Jordan Reed in this game. I like the divisional matchup for this one. You know, DeSean Jackson, not bad to put out in this. I mean, he is their leading receiver right now. You won't find me giving a lot to DeSean Jackson. You know, I think that he can make a few big-time plays here and there, but I like Jordan Reed in this. Chris Thompson, I thought, would step up a little bit more coming from Florida State and being in the Redskins' backfield. But Matt Jones, I don't see him having a huge game in this one. I see it as being more of a passing game on the side of Washington. But for the Giants, when I look at their side of the ball, I like Sterling Shepard. He's their leading receiver by a yard over Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, between Shepard, he has a touchdown, and he has 11 receptions on 12 targets. The rookie's got 160 yards, caught everything but one ball thrown his way. Victor Cruz, I'm with Mike, didn't expect him to be a factor. He has been. Odell Beckham Jr. is having a good one, too. So if you got Shepard, Beckham Jr., or Cruz, throw him out there and, you know, see what happens, see what sticks. I think it's a passing versus a passing for this one, and that's kind of how I view this game. And Jordan Reed, if I'm going to go on Washington's side, that's the one I'm going to tell you. Going to the games that are later on Sunday, starting at 4:05 p.m. Eastern time, Los Angeles at Tampa Bay. What do you have in this one? I know we talked about Todd Gurley. I think that this is a game you still should play him in because they're playing Tampa Bay's defense. But, Mike, what do you think about the Todd Gurley factor in this one and then both teams overall?
Yeah, if I had Todd Gurley, I'm still playing Todd Gurley. He's still an RB1 in my mind. It's just a matter of I don't know what the situation is. I'm sure we'll find out soon, and I'm sure there'll be hindsight involved when we do. But Todd Gurley's the machine that makes them go. And if Todd Gurley can produce, if Todd Gurley can break away, which he's capable of on any given play, this is a guy who's capable of scoring at any given moment in the game, which makes him dynamic and exciting. So he's pretty much the center point, the focal point, and I get that, and the defenses get that as well, but you can't argue what he's been able to do a la outside of this year, so I'm still going to have faith in him, and I'm still going to play him. On the other side of the ball, I think Jameis Winston is a good quarterback. I'm not sure he's the top quarterback that you can have out there this week, but if you have to play him, it's not a totally bad play, although the Rams' defense is okay. Charles Sims should see a lot of carries, a lot of touches, and you can never, never forget about Mike Evans. Mike Right. Evans is a strong receiver, so if you have Mike Evans on your team, you can feel good about rolling him out too.
You know, I think for my side, Tampa Bay at home, you know, Mike Evans, I do like him, and like Mike said, I'm not totally against Jameis Winston. I think he can put some stuff together. He has 5 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, though. So if you're in a league that affects you in a negative way, if they take away points from you for interceptions, that's something you have to pay attention to and something you have to look at, that he's 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions right now. I like Charles Sims. I like Mike Evans. I like Todd Gurley. But the wild card in this one, Kenny Britt is the leading receiver for the Rams. Would you throw Kenny Britt in there as a flex if somebody needs someone? What do you think about the Kenny Britt factor, Mike?
Yeah, I have Kenny Britt ranked as the number 37 receiver this week, so you could do a lot worse, but he's not high on my radar. But if you're, you know, desperately searching to plug something in, if you have an injury, if you had a Corey Coleman or somebody else that's gone down, you know, there's a lot worse that you could do. So I would feel okay about rolling him out. He wouldn't be my first choice, but, you know, maybe you're in a situation where that's what's available to you, and maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised. I mean, there's going to be some scoring. I don't think you're going to see L.A. go with another 3 or 6 point game or whatever that baseball game was they played last week.
No, I think we could see Kenny Britt get his first touchdown of the season in this game. When we look at San Francisco at Seattle, your thoughts on this one. I mean, obviously San Fran has done some good things. Blaine Gabbert has 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Carlos Hyde has a couple of touchdowns. They open up their offense and were pushing to shock Carolina late in the game in week 2. So you look at their side, and Seattle's been a catch 22, kind of that team that you don't want to bet against, but their offense has sputtered at times. So what do you think about San Fran at Seattle?
Yeah, I think San Fran is going to have some problems this week. I don't think Gabbert's a play. I don't think any of the receivers are a play. I think the only guy I would play from San Fran would maybe be Carlos Hyde, the running back. And even then, I don't have him highly ranked at all. I have him as a low-end RB3 this week. I think going to Seattle, and this is after Seattle kind of laid that egg last week and had that soft game without scoring any points. I know Russell Wilson has problems with the high ankle sprain, and that's a difficult injury to play through, but he looks like he's going to be able to play through it. Kristen Michael's going to take over a lot more of the running. I look for C.J. Procise to actually start to make an impact on the field. And Doug Baldwin is a respectable receiver. I mean, if you have a Doug Baldwin on your team, again, there's a lot of guys that are worse. But, Doug Baldwin's a solid QB2, QB3 type kind of guy. So I think Seattle's going to turn it on at home, and I think the Niners aren't going to score very much, and Seattle's going to score a bunch.
I'm hoping that Seattle's offense will wake up for those that I do have. You know, I'm going to look at Michael and kind of consider him. He's on the fence for me right now. I'm going to pay a lot of close attention to C.J. Procise because he hasn't been utilized a lot. I do like Doug Baldwin in this game as a wide receiver for Seattle. San Fran, outside of Carlos Hyde, I do like Vance McDonald. He has been a huge target for Blaine Gabbert, who likes to throw to his tight end. So I do like Vance McDonald as a potential option if you need to put somebody out there for tight end. He has a couple touchdowns this season, so not too shabby. And, Doug Baldwin, I think that he'd be a good play for this one. And Russell Wilson, 1 touchdown, 1 interception through 2 games. So I'm kind of holding off on him. I actually replaced him because I have, other quarterbacks like Oakland and Jacksonville and whatnot that I rely more on over him if I had to choose. We're going to go through the next 5 games, a little bit more quickly. We're on the clock, so to speak, for this. So Jets at Kansas City. Who do you have in this one?
Well, you can't argue with Brandon Marshall. Anytime you see the Jets, Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, they're a great 1-2 combination. But a guy that should be on your radar, we spoke of recently, earlier in the show, Kwesi Enyinwa. And I know I'm butchering that name, but this is a guy who looks like he's part of the Three Musketeers that they got going on the other side of the Meadowlands, and that's at the Giants, where the Giants have Odell and Sterling and Cruz. Well, they got Inua, and they got Decker, and they got Marshall. Well, don't forget they got Matt Forte, too, and he can catch the ball out of the field, and that's been the difference for the Jets is Matt Forte. On the other side of the ball, I don't see much value or production out of Kansas City. I know they got a better defense, but at the same time, the Jets have a strong front. Travis Kelce is somebody you can consider to have on your team. He's a top tight end overall, but at the same time, everybody sees this as a Kansas City win by a field goal. That's what the line is, but again, the line's not there to pick the favorite. The line's there to divide the money in half, so with that understanding, I like the Jets in this one, and I like the scoring potential, even though, the Chiefs have a solid defense.
The Chiefs, they go up and down. I went against Matt Forte last week, and I do think that he's somebody you should consider putting out there in this game. He wouldn't be my number one running back, but he would be a thought if I'm going to put 3 out there, and I have him. I just wouldn't suggest sitting him on your bench like I accidentally did this past week. Eric Decker, Kwesi Enyinwa, and Brandon Marshall, I like the 3 of them. Decker, you got to kind of watch and see where he's at this point right now. He didn't practice Wednesday, but he plans on playing against the Chiefs. He does have a shoulder injury. Usually when he's on the questionable, which, like Mike said, has changed, but usually when he's on the injury report, he'll end up playing most of the time. So I do like the 3 heads of the wide receivers for the Jets. And Spencer Ware, it's another guy to look at for Kansas City. And Travis Kelce's never a terrible person to put out there, but I'd like to see more from him. San Diego at Indianapolis, who do you have?
Melvin Gordon's been doing a dynamic job all year.
Yeah.
He worked out with Adrian Peterson. Now, apparently, he worked out Adrian Peterson too hard because Adrian Peterson has that knee problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that took it to another level for him, and he really got to see what it takes to make it. You know, Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin have been doing a bang-up job, and I look for a lot of points in this game. And on the other side of the ball, there's great value in the pick of Philip Dorsett at receiver. And Andrew Luck is a stud. He's a top quarterback week in, week out, and they're going to throw the ball. So if you're going to throw the ball, you're going to need somebody to catch it. Moncrief's no longer there. Dorsett's going to take a large part of that. And I think that those are two guys you should key on from the Colts. So I look for some points. I look for Indianapolis to close out a high-scoring game on both sides.
I like Melvin Gordon in this one. You know, he's somebody that I put on my team this year. I believed in him last year, and I gave him kind of maybe some early credit, so to speak. But this year, it's paying off, and I hope it continues to. Indianapolis, Philip Dorsett, he was a guy that I thought you should pick up and consider in your draft if you were going deep and you needed somebody else, or maybe somebody took Moncrief and Hilton obviously went. So Dorsett, not a bad play in this one. Andrew Luck, not a bad play in this one. I think San Diego will score some points, and I think Indy will as well. I like Melvin Gordon. Pittsburgh at Philadelphia, Battle PA. Who do you have in this one?
Well, you got to have Antonio Brown. If Antonio Brown's on your team, he's probably been doing you proud so far. And this is a guy. And same thing with D'Angelo Williams. And you know what? They got a big three there, too. And their big three, the other guy's name is Big Ben. So the Steelers have an offensive machine, and they're a good team. But, you know, Carson Wentz hasn't been doing a bad job. I think he's exceeded expectations so far. But Jordan Matthews seems to be the one guy on that team that jumps off the radar. He's still a wide receiver one. And Ryan Matthews isn't a bad play either. So you got the Matthews brothers happening there in Philadelphia. But I think it's going to be all Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's going to come away with the win and more fantasy points.
Yeah, you know, I think Pittsburgh's obviously going to do some good things here. Antonio Brown is good. Sammy Coates, if you're looking for somebody and scrounging on the waiver wire at wide receiver, D'Angelo Williams has obviously been able to go to work and put in good work. Ben Roethlisberger has been strong this season and has come out looking more like himself. And on the other side of it, Philadelphia, Ryan Matthews, not a bad play. Jordan Matthews hasn't been a bad one either. So you really kind of open it up here and give some opportunity and see what can happen out there for both of these teams, because I think that both of them are going to score and they're going to do some good things in this game. But I do side with Pittsburgh. I do think that they'll take it on the road. Chicago and Dallas, Sunday night football in Texas. Who do you have?
Well, I think it's hard to play too many Bears players. Alshon Jeffrey is probably the one shining moment there. Quarterback still a question mark there. Is Hoyer going to be healthy? What's going to happen with Cutler? How long is he going to be out with the hand injury? So I think that there's some challenges there. The one value guy who we may see more of this week, and you may want to jump on him right after this week's games, but that might be too late because remember, you got to be ahead of the curve, is Jordan Howard. So watch Jordan Howard's performance in this game. See how many touches he gets in comparison to Jeremy Langford. On the other side of the ball, Dak Prescott is an okay quarterback right now, again, exceeding expectations for a rookie. And Zeke Elliott, he's going to get the touches. He's a guy that's going to get the ball. So that's what you like when you have a fantasy player. You like the guy that's going to get the ball. And Dez Bryant is arguably a top receiver. Even though he's gelled a little bit with the rookie quarterback, he hasn't quite been wide receiver one. He's been more so wide receiver two, which is still good. He's still a play. He's still value there at two.
You know, when I look at this game, I do like Dak Prescott in this game. I do like his output and what he's been able to put together so far. So I do like him on his side for Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott against Chicago. I mean, if Ryan Matthews could do what he did, then I would expect Ezekiel to do some good things in this game as well. Dez Bryant, look for him to potentially wake up in this game, potentially put himself out there. I like Jason Witten against the Bears as well. And for Chicago, this is tough. I want to tell you Alshon Jeffrey, but it's a big question mark. Jay Cutler leaves question marks when he's healthy, and he leaves a lot more when he's not. So it's hard for me to tell you Chicago would be a place to go in this one. And finally, Monday Night Football, Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. What do you think about this, Mike?
This should be a score fest as well. I'm excited to watch this game, and I'm glad it's on Monday Night Football. I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman are going to tear up the Saints' defense. I know the Saints are 0-2, but the Saints are playing at home. The Saints usually play better at home, and I think the Falcons' defense has some areas of opportunity, so I wouldn't feel bad about starting a Drew Brees, a Willie Snead. machine. And, of course, they got Mark Ingram to run the ball. So I look for New Orleans to win this game at home. I look for a lot of fantasy points on both sides of the ball.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot on both sides, too. I want to see Devontae Freeman wake it up. I'm still waiting for the Devontae Freeman that I drafted, so I'm hoping that I get that in this game. But Mark Ingram, he's going to be fun to watch. Tim Hightower, I wouldn't put him out there for fantasy. I just watch him, see what he could do. Willie Snead, that's someone to look at as well. Brandon Cooks, you can't really bet against him because when you do, he might burn you for a touchdown, give you some yards out there. And, you know, on Atlanta's side, you have to look at Julio Jones. And Mohamed Sanu, if you got to go deep or you got to go to – I don't even think he's that deep as some other people might be. It's a good option. I think this game is a good option for passing and for rushing. Yeah, I don't think you can really go wrong in a Monday night game that I think is going to end in the 30s, if not the 40s. So that is our look at the entire week three going into fantasy football. And if you have any questions, go to wakeupcalldt.com and click on the fantasy football page and send your question on your specific team to Mike and I. You can also check out Mike at hallofamefantasyfootball.com. Mike Sofka, as always, I'll see you in Jacksonville, and I appreciate the time.
Sounds great.